All right. What's going on, Clippers?
All right.
I got nothing.
You're
I'm
like
sorry.
A substitute
it's
teacher.
It's Monday. Yeah. I'm worried that we're going to like give opposite names, then I'll be hella confused the whole time. But no, we won't. We'll tell the truth. I'm William, the opinion update.
But I'm positive Chuck Walker.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content you can handle. Some you can't.
I feel like I've been away for so long.
Oh, yeah. Just gone a day, but man, I feel like I've been gone away for so long. It was very eventful weekend.
Long weekend.
Well, just since Friday, really. If you didn't know, your Clippers had a huge win over OKC.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually going to kick off the show with a little recap of that game, and then we're going to get into a preview of tonight's matchup against the Celtics, which mm-hmm. I think we're both very excited for.
Yeah, tepidly excited, but also kind of scared. But yeah. Confident, I have a bunch of emotions going on about the game.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. We're going to unpack all of it. Don't you guys worry. And then we're going to get into our regular Monday segment, which is the Freshies, where we give a little bit of like a rookie and just new guy kind of status report. So stay tuned for all of that and possibly even more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so the you were credentialed for this OKC versus
Clippers. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I could have been, but...
oh, yeah, I'm sure.
No, I was at the Korean spa all day. It was great. Most important thing, why'd you wear cowboy boots for his halftime performance?
Yeah, to anyone listening, this is totally unrelated. I'm a pretty big YG fan.
Yeah, I'd say we both are.
It was not a very good halftime show.
I don't think you can expect... I mean, do you want to put on a good halftime show at... An NBA basketball? Like, does it really... It can turn, if you're YG...
I think it's really hard because everyone is trying to leave during halftime to do other stuff. And then it's just kind of a bizarre environment, I think, to do a live show. I think that's why it's always funny when you catch, like, an away stream and they're, like, showing somebody's, like, freak show halftime event.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, man, how many... peanuts can this guy crack without using his hands? I think stuff like that.
Is that a real one?
I don't know. I'm just making that up. But
wow. We have a backup career if we don't do this.
But like I think that stuff is a little bit more suited to a halftime
than
show. Because
like
it's like
a musical performance.
Yeah, because you don't need to be actively giving someone feedback, which I feel like you kind of do at a concert. Someone needs some sort of validation. Anyway, we're getting way the heck off topic.
Sorry
right
about
now.
That. The Clippers beat the Thunder 118-110.
Oh, yeah.
We'll hit you with some quick stats. Story of the game, Lou Williams had 40 points off of the bench. He accounted for 40 of the 50 points our bench scored.
Yeah.
That, not good. Gallo put up a season high 34 plus 6 boards. Zoo had 14-7. And Patrick Beverley continues his stretch of unbelievably phenomenal
defensive performances.
With the greatest Patrick Beverley line of all time. He went for a cool 0-7-6 and was plus 22.
Yeah. He
incredible.
Very incredible. Doc said that was his favorite stat of the night. It's incredible watching Patrick Beverley guard these small forwards.
Anybody.
Yeah. He did a really great job. He got under Russ's skin and Paul George's skin so soon. I was in the press box, which is like above the 300 level, and I could feel how mad Russell Westbrook was. Like, he was beyond big man.
It's like when your mom comes home and she's like, I thought you were going to clean.
Yeah. Yeah, you could feel it all the way up there. Oh, and I just wanted to touch on the Lou thing. You know, obviously, I don't know if you guys were aware, but he did surpass Jamal Crawford for number 2 all-time scoring off the bench. He's about 27 points away right now.
I thought it was 24.
Somewhere around there. I thought they said 27 in the locker room.
He might get it tonight.
But, yeah, he's only a mere few points away for Lou Williams. You know, that's an easy
night. That's like a good half. That's like, he's playing well.
From taking the number 1. So, like, huge.
From Dale Curry.
Yeah, from Dale Curry. So, you know, big.
You know, is he the greatest sixth man of all time? Yes, unequivocally. For the Thunder, Westbrook had 32, 8-7. Paul George and Schroeder each had 15, and Stephen Adams had 6-10.
Adams, surprisingly not very impactful when watching this one.
I could only watch snippets of this game. I was eating dinner at Mamser, no big deal. But he didn't look to be... He wasn't locked in, or I don't know, or maybe it was an issue, because the refs were horrific in this game.
I think he was worried. He got 2, I believe, in the first. He got 2 fouls pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that definitely altered the way that he played his game. But he just kind of disappeared for stretches. Like, he's a big dude, and
that's
I
not
would
usually
forget
his thing either.
That he was there.
That's so weird for him. Yeah. It was. I would probably chalk it up to the refs. Let's kind of talk about Beverly. So he guarded Paul George for 44 possessions.
Yeah.
Held him to 3 of 10 shooting. corrupted him into 4 turnovers.
Corrupt? What does that even mean?
He corrupted his thinking. He manipulated him into 4 turnovers.
I don't know about that, man.
And then kind of started a mini Twitter feud between him and Paul George.
Yeah.
Which was great.
So this actually started, I was at the, when they closed down the locker room for press, OKC was still doing theirs, like in the visiting tunnel, and Paul George was there. And I walk out, and like the first thing that he was complaining about was like the refs. And how if he says anything, like, he loses money. But he was clearly making the narrative about pretty early on that this was more of a reffing thing.
This had nothing
to do. Then it was
getting
locked down, which I think is absolutely absurd. And, like, we could talk a little bit about the fouls because it was ticky-tacky. I do feel like it went both ways.
But if you, yeah, we'll get into the numbers. Right, just looking at the numbers for the fouls.
But I thought this was not an integrity move for me. And I'm, like, kind of a Paul George fan.
Yeah.
This was not an integrity move for me.
No, and Patrick Beverley felt the same way. He was like, just say that I locked you up, dude. I did. So I was looking at the fouls because I've heard a bunch of, you know, chatter about that. 34 fouls called on the Thunder, 26 on the Clippers.
Yeah.
That's, I mean...
I just feel like that's pretty well in line.
It's 8. It's a difference age, which sucks, but it's not, like...
And there were a bunch of non-calls on Gallo and Trez that, yeah. I mean, like, you know, like, I just complaining about the reffing is so boring to me.
For sure.
And I think especially when, like, someone gives a defensive performance that this good, like, that's so belittling to try and blame that on the refs. I think that that's a baby of a move.
And in a year where the refs have been so bad, I would say,
yeah,
for legitimate reasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
This was kind of a lame move. What was it like watching Lou just put up 40?
Oh, man, he just looked unstoppable.
it was crazy.
He was blowing past 4 dudes, and it was like he was playing a different game.
Yeah.
And I know that's a little bit of a cliche thing to say, but it's just, he was just carving people
40
up.
Of the 50 bench points.
He was unstoppable, and we needed it so badly. The rest of the bench, man, they just did not have a good night. I think Trez had 8, and Jermichael had 2.
What happened?
And other than that, it was scoreless. There was a bunch of really bad back-to-back possessions.
Okay.
There was a couple of turnovers and then just not like just not efficient like playmaking.
Kind of that jittery heightened sense of I'm trying to do
too
much.
Yeah, it was just kind of that classic thing where we get both lineups are definitely culpable for it and capable of it, but I think that bench unit, for whatever reason, I think just because they're used to kind of shouldering a heavy load, is sometimes susceptible to just getting like real angsty and angsty and nervous.
Doing too much.
But yeah, it wasn't great.
Huh. Well, I mean, I'm glad his 40 points was there.
Yeah, for sure.
That, I mean, at least we got it. He was 13-24. 4-6 from 3, only 2 turnovers. Schroeder guarded him for the most. I was looking at the box score. He killed him. He killed Terrence Ferguson.
Yeah.
Thunder fans really don't like Terrence Ferguson.
I think that's a little bit rough. I think that he has a lot of upside.
Yeah. Talk about Gallo. He had his season high, right, with 34.
Yeah. I love that you put he only went 2 of 5 from 3. That's 40%, dude.
Yeah, I know. Well, I meant there's the amount. Only hitting 2 threes is not that many for Gallo.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But still, that's 40%. Like, that's a solid percentage.
I'm not saying the percentage isn't bad. I understand it's a good percentage. 12 of 15 from the line. He and Lou had 30 combined free throws.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
He started the game going 4 for 4 in the first quarter with 2 threes and 2 outside shots, which is nice. That's good spacing.
Yeah. The beginning of the game, Gallo was just incredible.
Yeah.
I think I blinked and he had 9 points. he hit 2 back-to-back threes after a drive that resulted in an and one.
Damn.
Yeah, he was unstoppable. He had 19 in the first half, I'm pretty sure.
That's what's up. Yeah, he's kind of... Man, it's nice to see him back up the second half after a good first half.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like exactly what we were all agitated with Tobias about. So a hard-fought game.
Mm-hmm.
Does this kind of change? What did the Thunder do that other teams could do against our second unit, do you think? Like, was there anything that really stood out, or was it just a bad night?
I think it was a mix of both, but I would give some credit to like guys like Noel, Nerlens. They played some pretty solid defense. They definitely put the pressure on. But I don't know. I think I think it was just a little bit of like a bad shooting night for us. Mm-hmm. And then I mean, I think the biggest thing was just like we didn't have the energy to match theirs. Their second unit came out and was just like just ready. They just came out with a lot of intensity right away, and we just didn't have an answer.
They're a feisty second unit for sure. Does this kind of change? Watching this game, I was kind of like, because the Thunder are kind of team I'm scared about in the playoffs. And I was like, yeah, this game, it didn't do anything to change my thinking. I'm still a little wary. I'm more wary of the Thunder than maybe other teams that we would possibly face.
Yeah, this made me a little bit less wary, actually, just because of what I've... Well, I've talked about this a little bit before, but Westbrook was having a better shooting night, which is always going to be dangerous. I just don't know if I can... You want to try and depend on that for seven games,
yeah,
or
for sure.
I mean, even four games, really. And I think if you can neutralize Paul George, this is just a much less scary team.
Yeah, and if Adams is doing that weird disappearing act thing that he was doing.
And that's the lowest amount of like boards that he's ever had against us.
That's nuts. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of the lowest totals of his season in general.
Yeah, I know. he's still so damn good.
Yeah, he's really good. Coming up after this quick break, we're going to be previewing tonight's game against the Celtics. But first, the Lockdown Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. If you follow multiple accounts and you want them all in one spot, check out Lockdown Net on Twitter and Instagram. It gives you everything in one feed. It's awesome. The stories feature on Instagram makes snippets a lot easier to digest. That is Lockdown Net on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, so we got I just feel like every game is so big right now.
Yeah, and it's the first night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Woo!
luckily, we are on a home stretch for a little bit, so that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. Obviously, the standings are just wildly tight right now. Six through eight is a deadlock. Everyone is 7.5 games behind the first place Warriors.
Which, if you look at our schedule, I mentioned this a week ago, our last game against the season is against the Jazz.
Yeah.
And if they can't perform like they probably should against what I think is the league's easiest remaining schedule.
Yeah.
That could be a pretty pivotal game seeding-wise.
Yeah, definitely.
Injuries for the Clippers. Luka Mbamute is out because his knee... I don't think his knee's there anymore.
It's just disappeared.
I think it's gone. And then Jason Tatum is out.
Yeah, so he's got some shoulder... Huge. He's got a shoulder injury. I don't think they realized the severity until really pretty recently.
Yeah, that's... I mean, sucks for them, but we'll take it.
Definitely.
Boston... I don't know how to, you know, the Clippers are expecting a motivated Boston team.
Yeah, they're in a little bit of a resurgence right now. You know, there was a lot of, I feel like the news cycle was so freaking dominated with how the Celtics, were disgruntled and falling apart. We don't need to address that. We've already heard it all to death.
Kyrie wore a why so serious shirt. What does it mean?
But they have won four of their last five, including like a one possession win over the Kings and absolute smackdowns.
That was crazy.
Of the Warriors, Lakers, and the Wizards.
All three of those teams are on the same level also.
absolutely. Absolutely. But since the All-Star break, just in general, we match up pretty well with this team. We have the fourth-ranked defense post the break against their fifth. And per game, offenses are scoring about 105, 106 points on both of these teams per game. And over that stretch since the All-Star break, we've gone 6-2, and they've gone 4-5.
Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah. And then in scoring since the break, we're actually ranked 14th. I would expect that number to improve. It seems low, but
yeah.
We're scoring about 114 points per game. And just for a reference point, Golden State is at around 114.1.
Damn.
And OKC is in ninth place with 115.6. So Golden State is really only a couple notches above us.
Yeah, it's pretty tight, too. I mean,
yeah.
113.6 to 115.6, it's only 2 points a game.
Yeah. And then the Celtics are our 24th ranked offense with 107.8. And, you know, it makes sense.
Here's a hot take.
What do you got?
That I just realized. Does scoring per game as a stat matter? The Celtics have won, 40-something games, and they're 24th? Like, that's such...
This is post-All-Star break.
Oh, post-All-Star break. Excuse me.
All these stats are post-All-Star break. I'm counting that because... you know,
we're a different team.
We're just a different team.
Yeah, I totally get that.
And Boston has gone through their ups and downs, but I think that this would be a little bit more indicative of where they're at.
Yeah, I rescind my take then.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I why is this number low? I mean, I think Boston has put a lot of, to me, they've put a lot of emphasis on their defense.
Yeah.
To mixed results. obviously, though, those kind of systems only work when everybody's really buying in. Mm-hmm. They've also just had trouble deciding who's the go-to guy. And when you have when you have moments of indecision on offense, like, you're just not going to be as strong of an offensive team as our team that has clear leaders.
Say, let's get into what we need to do to win. Kind of dominate those boards.
Oh. Always.
The Celtics rank 17th in total rebounding in the league to our 9th. For the life of me, I don't understand how after that first half of the season, we're still a top 10 rebounding team. But anyway, it like doesn't make sense.
To the eye test, it sometimes doesn't make sense either, especially on the defensive glass. I feel like we give up a lot of second chance looks.
Horford 6'10", so Zoo kind of has a height advantage there. Horford is also their leading rounder at 6.8 a game. Tatum's their number 2. He's out. Marcus Morris is 3rd with 6. So we have a chance to possibly kind of dominate the glass tonight.
Yeah, so we did out-rebound them in our outing, which was at home, was at Boston.
The TD Garden.
And we out-rebounded them 49-45.
That's what's up. Got to do that again tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Keep shooting from deep.
Yeah.
We are 2nd in the league in team three-point percentage at 38%. And, like, at this point, it's like, yeah, let's just keep shooting, despite us still being 29th in attempts.
Yeah, for sure. So we've moved up from 29th in attempts since the All-Star break to 20th,
woo-woo,
taking nearly 30 a game.
That's what's up.
Boston is at 15 and they take about 3 more threes per game than us. But our percentage, we're almost 5 full percentage points better than them in accuracy. So
yeah,
that's a little bit of a wash, but I couldn't agree more. We gotta put up more threes, especially with Shaman in the lineup. And I'd like to see JaMychal just getting more looks. I'd like to see him get a few more attempts. Yeah.
We took 30 threes in the comeback against them, which is 5 more than we usually take. And we shot 40%. So we know we can shoot, so we might as well just do it. Then I think you and I are both on the same page on this one. Just a better bench production than Friday.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we'll be able to bounce back. You know, it's not... Our bench rarely has a tough stretch, usually.
Usually, yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. It's like the blessing and the curse of having guys like Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. I think that they're... I mean, you know, obviously... I wouldn't trade either one of those guys for the world, but
yeah.
I think when you're on that unit, there can be a little bit of passivity.
Yeah, if he's going for 40, it's like, well, okay. I mean, all right.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do my part when I can, because I think it's so hard as a bench guy to, you know, if you're playing with mostly starters and one of the starters is going off, you're like, great, defer to him. You know, he's a starter type thing. But when it's one of your bench guys and it's going off, I think it's harder to kind of stay in that rhythm when they need you to score.
Oh yeah, and I think beyond that, when you're deferring all the time to somebody on offense, I just think that it just introduces a passivity to you on the other end of the floor too. Like,
yeah,
you just see guys not be as engaged, you know. And I don't know. To me, that's like what makes Lou Williams or Trez so great, is that you throw them in, and from the first second they touch the floor, like, they're ready to go.
Yeah. Lou had 4 steals on Friday, too, which is crazy.
Yeah. Huge game.
The Celtics team is kind of hard to predict, but with no Tatum, they're probably going to be stretched thin. They beat us in points and boards last time, so who knows what's going to happen. What could go wrong? This is where, I know I say this, but getting too cute from three-point land.
Yeah.
Celtics are 6th in three-point percentage and three-point attempts.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a pretty nice clip to be at if you're them.
Sure.
We've seen our guys kind of fall into this before. It could be maybe a shootout tonight. Losing Tatum he shoots 37% on 4 attempts a game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, not the biggest loss for them three-point-wise. Like, they're not losing Kyrie or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think we're going to see a bunch of Kyrie and Hayward sets from deep tonight.
Definitely. I mean, I think that Morris will try to be cranking him up too.
I guess I'm fine with that.
no, he's a solid shooter, dude.
Yeah.
I will not take that slander on this podcast.
Like, and Marcus Smart's probably going to be in, hero ball mode from deep.
Yeah, hopefully for
that's,
us.
I'll say that's something I'm definitely fine with.
I think a big thing that could go wrong is just not coming out with the right intensity. They dominated us in that. They outscored us by 20-plus points in the
first
quarter.
Yeah, they were like 30 or 28 at one point.
That was ridiculous. We cannot have another single quarter like that. And, you know, the team is just... I just feel like a loss right now would set us back further than a single loss normally would.
Specifically, I think also, too, because it's the first night of a back-to-back, and we play a really high-energy team tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the Blazers, which sucks. This goes into my next point, the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
If they're motivated in the third quarter, I would much rather have a team kick our ass in the first than in the third.
Yeah, I mean...
It sucks either way. The only quarter we lost on Friday...
Was the third. Yeah.
So it's like... It probably is going to happen tonight. It's just going to be an issue of how much do we lose the third by.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just have to see. Just a quick aside. If we had to drop one of these games on the back-to-back, which one would you rather drop?
Just the Celtics one. It's not a conference game.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
But again, I don't want to see Enes Kanter win in Los Angeles, so what are you going to do? What key matchups do you got?
Well, there's a bunch. I'm interested to see how the starting rotation ends up panning out. Last time we saw Garrett Temple in the starting small forward position. This was before we had upgraded Shamet. And that unit was like really effective in the third quarter, holding Boston to 12 points. While I think we put up like 28, like near 30. So I'm curious to see how that rotation is going to work out. But a matchup I'm really excited for is Trez versus Horford, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I like this matchup for Zubats quite as much. To me, Horford's kind of whole game has been, you know, just shutting down kind of more traditional big men.
He's so crafty.
He's very crafty, and, like, his whole game is kind of the antithesis of a traditional big man. Like, he can play in the post and bang and stuff, but he doesn't really play above the rim.
No. He shuts down Embiid. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and he likes to, on offense, make other centers stretch all the way out to the... All the way out to the arc. So I think like that, a matchup like that is a little bit harder for Zubats. That being said, Zubats did pretty good against Horford last game. He shot for 50%, and Horford guarded him for over 50% of his possession. So it's not terrible.
Yeah.
But I like the Trez matchup a lot more. Let me tell you why. numbers wise,
just don't give a reason.
numbers wise. Trez held Horford to 1 of 5.
Oh.
Guarding him for about 42% of his possessions. And I like this matchup because Trez is, you know, body-wise, he's different, which matchup-wise, I think is just different to deal with.
Yeah, they're the same height, but he's stronger, I would say.
He's definitely
Horford.
Stronger.
He's in
better
and
shape. You know, he's a lot more athletic, obviously a lot younger.
Yeah.
And Horford really couldn't touch Trez. Mm-hmm. He guarded Trez for 44% of his possessions, and Trez went a perfect 6 for 6.
I'm into it.
So I don't know if this is a night where you start Trez in the starting lineup, but I expect to see him get big minutes against Horford with how well this matchup worked out for us. But
starting Trez is interesting, too, with Tatum out and stuff like that.
Yeah, well...
Could see some weird looks.
We'll see. What do you think? What matchups are you looking forward to?
The backcourts.
Okay.
Last time Patrick Beverley was on Tatum with Temple on Kyrie, that's not happening tonight.
Yeah.
So we get to see the fantastic matchup of Kyrie versus Patrick Beverley, which is going to be huge. Beverley's, like we said, playing his best basketball of the season right now. Kyrie seems to be on a resurgence. I don't know. He did some ayahuasca or something. He seems like he's in a better mental place. but if Kyrie isn't getting what he wants, they really got to pull on Hayward or Horford to be kind of their offensive spark. You know, so that...
I mean, Jaylen Brown could go off. I mean, they have some guys, but I definitely hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and then Marcus Smart versus Shea.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Smart is a pretty solid defender.
For sure a plus defender, but Shea went 4 of 5 from the field when Smart was guarding him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of length.
Silky.
He's got a lot of length on him.
And when Shea guarded Smart, he held him to 1 of 3 shooting.
That makes sense. And Shea, you know... He just has a lot more finesse. While I like Marcus Smart, like as a player, it's not a pretty game that he plays.
I don't think anyone
has ever associated that word with Marcus.
No one's ever
Smart.
Been like, "Wow, he's so smooth."
you're excited for the backcourt. I'm loving all these frontcourt matchups. I also like Gallo versus Morris. I would like to see Gallo actually play some really solid defense on Morris.
The smaller, weaker Morris, as you put him in now.
Yeah. He can't hang with the strongest man in the
strongest
league.
Strongest man
in the league? Gallo is obviously going to have a big night tonight. I don't see that as being a problem.
Can we see some meatball lineup tonight? Or can we see modified meatball, which is Trez at the five?
Modified meatball, possibly. I like the way that Trez lines up with Horford. I don't necessarily like Gallo, wasting Gallo's energy on D, trying to defend either Horford or Tice. Or Baines, really.
Yeah.
With Baines back in the, like, they didn't have Baines last time. Yeah. And, like, he's a big plus for them.
Yeah, he's a character.
I'm serious.
Guy.
He'll
get dunked on, but he's there. He'll challenge it. He's like Zubats.
He's a tough player. He's got a great veteran presence, and he can sometimes jack up threes.
Bad haircut.
Oh, now he's shaved off. He doesn't
top
down anymore.
Okay, well, that's good. Last one for me is just bench versus bench. I want to see Trez, Green, Temple, and Ty kind of have a bounce back game. Celtics have a really deep team.
Yeah.
Even when the starters aren't in, and with Tatum out. So Lou was guarded by Terry Rozier last time, and Terry Rozier held him into 2 of 6 shooting.
That's pretty impressive.
So that's really damn impressive.
It really is.
So I'm hoping that, you know, I don't expect Lou to go for 40. He might, but I could see him. I want to see him get that record tonight. Put up 27, something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And then I just have one. I got one more tasty front court matchup for you. We'll call it a wingy matchup. Landry versus either Brown or Hayward. With Tatum out, it's kind of a toss-up to me who they'll end up putting on Landry. But Landry is going to have to step up offensively tonight. Because defensively, he's not a good match for either one of these guys. Yeah. He's not a good match for like a standard size small forward.
Yeah.
And both of these guys can score in a variety of ways. So he's just going to have to put up big points because, like, on the other end of the floor, he is going to be a negative on every possession when he's, like, when one of these guys are going at him. And, you know, that's just what it is right now. He'll get better, but just from where he's at right now.
What's your prediction for this game?
My prediction for this game, I'm saying Clippers win. Let's go 110 to 115.
I'm saying Clippers win 119-114. So close game.
Are you listing the home team first and the opposing team last?
No, I was listing the winner first.
smart. I got you.
Coming up, we have a couple of minutes to do some freshy stuff. But first, the NCAA tournament is starting soon.
It's the biggest event of the year.
Biggest betting event of the year. MyBookie is your perfect place for March Madness fun. If you have some inside tracks, you know, is Virginia going to not lose to a 16 seed this year? Can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? Probably not. If you know the answers, MyBookie is a place to get in on the action. They have something for the people who do multiple brackets or the little lady who only does one bracket who loves gambling for some reason. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's capital L, capital NBA. For a 50% sign-up bonus, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, so what do we got for the freshies today?
We got a cool minute and a half to do this. Are we going to see Jerome tonight? He was recalled from ACC. And, quick rapid-fire question, do we want to see Jerome at all the rest of the season, or do we want playoff minute guys getting reps before the end of the season?
That's a really solid question. And to give a minute and a half answer, I think depending on how we're playing, we see Jerome a little bit. I actually don't think that we see him tonight. I think that Jerome did play the last time we played the Celtics. Shame it was just still so fresh that I don't think Doc had quite the belief in him that he does now. I would say that was probably the game that proved to Doc that he needed to be in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And as for the rest of the season, I mean, it's great for these guys to get reps whenever they can. While Doc said he would trust these guys in a playoff lineup, I just don't really see how they'd fit in.
Some seem more trusted more than others.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
I just don't see how they'd really fit into the rotations.
Yeah, I kind of just wish they'd keep him at Agua Caliente and just have him get a bunch of reps.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I like that
he's
playing both. I think it's good for his conditioning.
For sure. And he's getting the experience of just kind of the atmosphere and stuff like that. But, you know.
And it makes you feel more a part of the team. So I think it's good that he's with the team. I don't see him getting a whole lot of playing time here on out. Things are just too close and everything's too tight.
Yeah. One more question about Zubats. Does your opinion of him change as a human being if I told you his Instagram avatar was a Bitmoji?
Nah, he's a young dude. I'm fine with it.
Lou Williams has a Bitmoji on his shoe, so I think it's fair. So tomorrow we have a pretty big episode. We're doing Twitter Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah. We'll be live at Locked On Clips, 1:45 p.m. Pacific.
Pacific Standard. Send us those questions. We're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Celtics, previewing the game against the Blazers. Man, if we got two wins in a row right here, that'd be big.
That'd be wild.
Before we play the Bulls on Friday, so if we can kind of put all of our effort in these two games and then chill for a couple days.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Also, Soldier Boy is performing at halftime at the Friday game.
If you don't have your tickets yet, you don't want to miss that.
They're probably sold out. It's being billed as a Soldier Boy concert with a basketball game around it, actually. Which
oh,
is
wow. Big.
Guys, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.